Turn with me to Titus 2 as we begin again our look at this passage. It gives the characteristics of a woman that has a love for God and has a life that is or adorning the very knowledge of God. In verse 1 of chapter 2 of Titus, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." This is in the context here where the apostle is saying it doesn't matter how decadent a culture is, God's person and his standard doesn't change, and he's got the power to enable us to be all that we should be. I want to remind you, every expectation from God is good news because that means God will enable us to do it. It's amazing how Satan likes to twist things. All right, here's an expectation. Oh, that's rough. No, that's glorious because everything God wants us to do is always good. And he will give us victory. But you have the directive toward ladies in verse 3, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness." That's where we get the idea of godly living. And so lives that show forth the holiness of God. Not false accusers, controllers of their tongue. Not given to much wine. Not escaping and running away from problems and having bad habits, teachers of good things, influencing others for good, that they may teach the young women to be sober, that's to think right, to love their husbands, to love their children, that godly human love, that noblest of all affection. And now we're on to be discreet, another word for wisdom, the idea of having our thinking in a proper place so that we can think as God wants us to think. And so that is where we are for today. We started that last week, this subject. Just wanted to give that quick run through. Now, it was used in the last chapter, but I'm going to point it out. She talks about, it's rather humorous, but very sad. If you want to look at it just straight off, it's Proverbs 11:22. Proverbs 11:22. As he said, the more you think about it, it's almost humorous, but it's not. Proverbs 11:22. "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion." So she said it, I didn't. I probably would not choose this verse, but anyway. Got to be true to the text here, you know, but that's how she starts it off. But we all know how true that is. You think of all the emphasis on the outward in today's culture, especially with Hollywood and everything else, and how empty, how vain, how that is not the description of that which is worthwhile. But the idea that a woman, no matter how much outwardly she has going for her, if she doesn't have discretion, she's like a jewel that's very, seemingly very valuable in the snout of a pig. And of course, if I brought a pig in here with a diamond ring in its nose, we'd all say, that's really rather ridiculous. You know, poor pig could care less. And anyway, but the point is, that wisdom is what makes a woman or a man have value and purpose. It's something that brings beauty to a life, and that's really the emphasis that she wanted to give here right at the beginning. So today is more of a practical look at this matter of wisdom. And wisdom is a characteristic of someone who is far-sighted. In other words, one of the aspects of wisdom is to think about the consequences of every decision you make. And she emphasizes the fact that we are so prone to be emotional and emotionally based and make a decision at the moment which is going to counteract the things that are most important and the things that we value most. Think of how many decisions you've made that, oh, you wish that was a waste of time, that was a waste of money, that put me down the wrong path. That was just coping. I shouldn't have done that. And, you know, that's really where you can get discouraged, frankly, in your life by making that quick decision that is not based upon wisdom, upon the power of God. Now remember, we all have an eternal spirit. When we're saved, we're regenerated, and the Holy Spirit indwells us and is there to enable us to control our soul. Our soul is what makes us a person. It's our mind, it's our will, and it's our emotions. So you can have emotions that are controlled by the flesh or controlled by the spirit. You can have, your will can be willpower that's self-willed or for the purpose of selfish ends, or you can have a will that is dependent on the spirit to do great things for God and overcome the flesh. And the matter of the mind, it can either be thinking spiritual wisdom or it can be thinking human thoughts that obviously Satan can control. And so it's very important that we understand that living in the spirit is vital for every part of our life. And you know, it's amazing how you can get fooled by soulishness. People can get all emotionally worked up and think they're religious. In fact, there's a lot of worship today that I frankly think is fleshly emotion and not spiritually led true worship of God. People can come to great ideas mentally and feel like they're really developing, but they're not walking in the spirit and go all the wrong direction. Or willpower. I am going to do this. I'm going to be a great Christian. I'm going to do it myself. Well, that's not going to work very well. And so all of those things you can be deceived by, thinking that you're okay when you're not. So you want to have wisdom, and wisdom comes directly from the mind of God through the working of the Spirit of God in the Word of God, which He, of course, authored and which God has graciously given to us. So we want to be farsighted. In other words, we want to not let ourselves make that quick mental, emotional decision that is not God's will, that is not right, that doesn't have long-term good benefits. Feel like yelling at your child? Does that have long-term benefits? No, it's a great problem. Or you buy something without thinking about it because you're sort of needy that day? Not a good deal. And on you can go. And so there are many little decisions that women can make where they sort of escape the home thinking, well, I need to do this or that, and yet little foxes spoil the vine, as she mentions here. Or spending money in a way that will not be the right priority for things that are going to really matter in a wise use of money. Or failing to teach and work with your children and discipline them the way you should, which takes a lot of focus, concentration, and the power of God. And the problem is, you fail to do it when they're developing, you'll be facing it, you know, and you're making decisions in which you will pay a lot later on. And just wasting time and not accomplishing the goals, just simply many times because you're discouraged. That's the Bible says we're not to eat the bread of idleness. And having we neglect the disciplines that help take care of our health, our life. And it is important that we do take care of ourselves. By the way, let me just say, this is a total rabbit trail, but in the month of January, with the shortest days and the coldest days, this is a time in which a lot of ladies in particular feel this can be very discouraged and depressed. Any habitual anxieties that come seem to show up between October and February. That's just a very known fact. It's just a physiological, emotional fact. And so one of the things you can do is counteract that by doing whatever you can to have exercise. Make sure that you really take care of yourself and get enough sleep during this time. And then don't take yourself too seriously. Just realize, oh yeah, this is January. That dark thought is just purely, you know, a habit from the past. I'm not going to take that seriously. And get out in the sun. Now today, you know, but I mean, if it's 15, 20, you can get out in the sun for a little while. It's wise just to get out today. And that's one of the things we miss is that, the vitamin D. By the way, do take vitamin D. I'm not here to give you natural medicine advice here, but that's a proven situation. Vitamin D is very important for us up in the north, colder climates, that we're not out in the sun. Make sure you do that. And so these are things that you need to make right decisions, because if you let yourself get all down and discouraged and let old habits come in during the month of January, a lot of people are affected by that. So that does fit what she's saying here. Be careful what you watch, read. All of that does affect you. And so if we're going to have the right kind of wisdom, we've got to have a very clear eye on the potential consequences, good or bad, favorable or detrimental. And so every choice makes a difference. She says just directly, I'll quote here, I attempt to apply this mark of maturity to everything, from the food I put into my mouth to the books I read and put into my mind, from the way I spend time to the way I spend Jim's paycheck, from whether or not I go on an walk today to whether or not I will start up the car and go out today. Making decisions based on future ramifications is both a challenge and a discipline, but it's the mark of a woman who is wise. So good, just good admonition there. And the exciting thing is we have the priorities we need in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will direct. You know, when you spend that extended time with the Lord in the morning, He will direct you. In fact, I find during that hour with God, I get more direction right there. And people to talk to, things I need to do, just directions for my life, and then the strength to know that God's going to enable me. Because there's a lot of things you got to navigate, a lot of things you don't plan on. But when you're walking with God, God will prompt you, and He will lead you and guide you. Now, you say, well, how do you do that? Well, there's three P's here that have been suggested I think are very helpful. You need to, first of all, if you're going to live this way, learn to pause. P-A-U-S-E, not P-A-W-S. I can't help but think of one time years ago, one of our accompanists forgot what the introduction to a song for an ensemble that we had, and there was this long, long thing. And Dr. Jim came up afterwards and said, that was an effective use of the dramatic pause. He didn't use P-A-W-S, pause. But anyway, I'm sorry. That had nothing to do with this. But it requires a decision to distance yourself from your emotions. I don't know about you. I like to make decisions, get things done. I'm more on the decisive side than the indecisive side. And it's good. As a leader, somebody's got to decide, so decide. Don't be just wave around. On the other hand, don't decide knee-jerk, because that is going to create many times the very thing you don't want to have happen. So get your heart where it needs to be. Don't make the decision until you know you are thinking from a biblical, spiritual standpoint. Certainly, before you buy something, pause. Think about whether or not it fits into your budget, into what's right, into what is right priority, what is your motivation for buying it, and a lot of times God can redirect you at that point, and then you say, wow, God really protected here. Pause when it comes to saying something, that's really important. Pause before you make a decision and just head out. And there's a lot of things we do to escape that we have to pause and say, no, I don't need to do that. I don't need to eat that. I don't need to go there. I have something more important to do. I have a different plan for today. I have different goals, and God can just get it back in mind. So, very important, don't rush into anything. Make it a habit to wait. Those split seconds can change everything. I can tell you from experience, that's really a huge, simple point. Learn to stop. Be still and know that I'm God. Everything you do ought to be by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and that's dealing with some of the mundane things of life, if you check that there in Romans. And so we need to know this is the right thing to do. And that will just bring calmness to your soul. Then it will require a decision to pray. I've already intimated that. You pause to do what? To pray. you pause to allow God to have an opportunity, as James 1:5, to give you wisdom, to give you spiritual perspective. And I just want to promise you, God will lead. He said he would. You say, well, you know, do I go to this place or this place? Does he really care about that? Oh, yes, he does. Because of that one place, maybe somebody he wants you to witness to. I've seen that happen so many times. Unbelievably. You live with divine appointments if you take a second to pause and to pray. Or you, in praying, God will then give you direction. That's not the right priority. No, that's out of emotion there. That's out of you're desiring something. That's out of an escape mode. That's out of a reaction mode. Don't make that phone call. Wait. Or do make that phone call, because that's right. But then what you do comes from the unction from the Holy Spirit, not from just a quick fleshly response on your part. And then it takes requires a decision to ponder. You need to, as you're praying and as you've paused, you need to weigh all the options as you're thinking ahead and look at the long-term consequences of the decision that you would make. Even if it's a small thing, small things add up for major consequences. And the question comes, if you have children in the home, how do I have enough time to really communicate with them, making right decisions so you have the right amount of time? Learning to get things under control. I haven't brought it up recently, but I think one of the things that'll really help you overcome by pause, praying, and pondering is the knee-jerk reaction to go to technology. You know, just to, there's just that mind. Have you ever noticed a person sits down, out comes the phone? We all face that. There may be a legitimate reason, and there's a lot more on the phone than social media and all of that. And that's really part of the danger. Like for me, I've got thousands of books on my phone and things I can study with, but there's such a distraction potential there. And honestly, if we could give to the Lord all the non-essential technology, give that time to the Lord, we would be doing a lot for God. So that's another thing. Don't just grab the phone or turn on the technology, and be very careful. That'll really help you with just watching entertainment. Because if you ask God, what's the best use of my time, I doubt very often he's going to lead you to that. Might be painful of a change, but life is a whole lot more interesting than make-believe life. Why do we need to live somebody else's life? Well, there are certain things that are helpful to watch, but not many in pop culture today. And if you have the right values, that's another thing you've got to get control of. This is where it happens. It happens on the boots on the ground, moment by moment decisions that we make. So a godly woman is going to be constantly wanting wisdom, the ability to see with discernment, to view life as God perceives it. I remember hearing that definition years and years ago, and it really helps. I want to think like God thinks, and God has promised us that we can have the mind of Christ. Then understanding is a skill to take what we see and to respond with insight. And knowledge is to take all of that with perception so you can be discerning and to be growing. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2, if you would. Proverbs chapter 2. We were there in 11, but just back a few chapters there. Proverbs chapter 2. Let me get there. And the first few verses just are very helpful there. Verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. In other words, we need to treasure everything that the Bible says, because it's coming from the heart of the God who knows everything. That's why the Lord says, if you keep my commandments, you'll prove that you love me. And we often think of keep as just sort of cold obeying. No, that word has much deeper. It's the idea of receiving, of cherishing, of holding on to, obviously doing the things that Christ has said. And that shows that we have a kindred heart with him and that we truly do love him. So wisdom starts with that, verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Here we are listening for God's wisdom and then applying our heart. In other words, meditating to where this becomes what we believe. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, then liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Ladies, this is one of those exciting thoughts throughout Scripture, is that if we'll seek for God, we'll find Him. If we seek for truth, we'll get it. I mean, we can't actually think like God. You have God's heart, and you're on the table there in front of you called the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 makes it very clear. He revealed to us what only He knows. And you know, the best of friends tell us what's really on their heart, right? The people you're closest to. Well, here He wants to be close to us, and He's given us the treasures of His heart. That's why to go days without being in the Word, to go a long time without really spending an extended time in prayer, is really an affront to a God that wants to spend time with us and wants to give us what we need. He's given us more than what we need for wisdom for life. And so those are some wonderful verses. So I want to conclude here this morning with different facets of wisdom. First of all, spiritual wisdom. And that is that understanding from the heart of what truly is important to God and is important for eternity. And the only way you're going to get that is what I've been saying all morning, is you have to know the Word of God for that. So spiritual wisdom will dominate everything. But God does use our faculties that He's given to us. And so there is mental wisdom. And so we need to develop our minds. Now we can develop them the wrong way, but it is so important, ladies, and sometimes in all the tasks at rearing children and things you've got to do, reading, learning, and developing your mind really are not on the forefront of what you do. Did you know it doesn't matter what age you are, that you can continue, the brain can develop? We only use a small fraction, you've heard that. And so we have great capacity to develop what they call dendrites, different growth aspects into our mind no matter what age. And I have found that working with folks that maybe are struggling a little bit with just age onset dementia, not Alzheimer's, but that, and I tell you what, working with them, all of a sudden memory begins to come back a little bit. All of a sudden they have a different perspective. They get out of the little hole that they're in and their mind begins to develop. And for us, it's very important to keep developing. You want the ability to think. Ever really felt muddled where you couldn't even think? Lack of sleep, lack of good nutrition, lack of hydration, lack of sunlight, and lack of really walking with God and then learning. You need to be learning. I always admire ladies that say, I always wanted to develop on the piano and I have a little time. Well, do it. Do it. Best thing in the world to develop every part of the brain. Every part of the brain fires up when you play the piano. And you say, well, I'll never be able to play it by so, like so-and-so. That doesn't matter. Just develop and enjoy it, and you never know when you might use it. Or another instrument. And I've seen a number of people much later in life learn things like that just to keep growing. Read, read, read good books. Read, read. Just make your mind go. Obviously, the right things. Get good counsel on what you read. But if we're going to have spiritual wisdom, we've got to have a brain that is able to process what the heart is telling us through the Word of God, and to be able to think things through, plan, prioritize, have clarity, have an encouragement in our mind. And so, very important. Practical wisdom talks about it's one thing to sit down and plan a schedule. It's quite another to get up and carry out those plans. And so once you've prayed, once you have thought things through and you're developing, then you got to do. You got to get up by faith and take the challenge of doing or not doing the things that God has led you to do. Now, this is where it's really thrilling, folks, when you're walking with God. You can just sense God just brings you, gives you the power. He gives you the heart to do it. Now, we have to make the willful decision, but wisdom doesn't help unless we apply it. So instead of being negative with our husband, we are edifying. Certainly, honestly communicate, but the Spirit of God helps us, so we make the decision to do that. With our children, we stop the frustrating look and words and give life-giving words, and if they need to be dealt with, we deal with them biblically, not fleshly in reaction. That's what I'm talking about. Making good use of your day. Write out the basic plan, follow through, and accomplish in all the different roles of your life something that will obviously follow the will of God for your life. And then you want your life to be a wisdom giver. The best way to remember something is to tell somebody else. That's one thing I love about being a pastor. Every time I preach, I'll go back and say, I got to remember that. The Lord really made that clear to me. And though I had studied it, now it became mine because I told somebody else. When you disciple, when you teach your children, when you just encourage another sister in the Lord, and you know, when you get blessed by something at devotions, share it with somebody. Articulate it. And it'll become yours. The more you share what God teaches you, the more you'll keep it. Is everybody hearing me? And guess what? You're able to be a blessing to somebody else. You're able to touch their life. So take the wisdom that God gives you, share the wisdom to be a blessing so that also you can have a great impact with it. So the wise woman, from a study of Proverbs, she gives seven steps, and I'll finish with this, and it goes with what we have just covered here. Step number one is stop. We talked about pausing. Before you do anything, stop. Wait. Wait until God speaks to you. Pray, number three. Then step number four, search the Scriptures, because in your prayer, you may have to say, Lord, what do you want me to do here? What are the right principles? Number five, if you don't know for sure, don't do anything. Ask for wise counsel. Make sure it's wise counsel, not somebody that's going to say what your flesh wants you to hear. We can pick the counsel we want, okay? Make a decision, and then create a plan and do it. Well, that's really simple, isn't it? But if we'd follow through on that, so that's stop, wait, pray, search the Scriptures, ask for wise counsel, make a decision, and create a plan that you work. All right. So, you know, some of these basics, sometimes it's just good to hear them. And God wants us to be wise. What's exciting is God's more interested in you having a life that shows wisdom than even you are. So he will give you what you need.